Why don't you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We're going to read verse 14, 15 in just a moment. You know, we started out a couple weeks ago basically doing a little series of messages about what did Jesus believe. Because, you know, in America today, and you see it in the news, you see it on the internet, and you see it in other avenues and everything, and even in Christian circles, it seems like that we've lost our way as far as what's true and what's not, what doctrines are true and what's not. And, you know, I thought about this, and I thought about, well, you know, rather than going through the whole Bible and everything like that, I just wanted to narrow it down to what did Jesus say about some of the things that's going on in our world today. We started off a couple weeks ago, who did Jesus believe he was? Because there's so many people out there that don't believe he's the Son of God, he's the Savior of the world. I had a Jehovah's Witness come on my doorstep this week, said Jesus wasn't God, he was born and created by God, and they're just trying to emulate him to be saved. I told her that wasn't true. Jesus was Son of God, and Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And she said, well, I don't want to argue with you, and started walking off. And I said, well, I just want you to know the truth and not be deceived. I don't guess I made her happy. Well, we asked that question. Who did Jesus believe he was? And last week we looked at, was Jesus a socialist? So much in our society today is pushing towards socialism in America. And this morning we'll look at something else. Was Jesus all-inclusive? It was a Lifeway survey that I just read. Lifeway Christian Stores. They did a lot. They do a lot of surveys on people in America and in Christian groups, and they ask a lot of questions. And I read that survey, and it was done back in the spring, so it's fairly recent. And let me just highlight some of the things this morning that it talked about. One, they asked the question: will everyone go to heaven? 6 out of 10 people who are claimed to be Christian says everyone is eventually going to go to heaven. They asked the question, all faith sincere and valid. 2/3 say God accepts worship of all faith, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. They asked the question, are all lifestyles accepted? 49% said sex outside of marriage is a sin. 44% says it's not. 7% don't know, aren't sure. 42% of Americans say the Bible's condemnation of homosexual behavior doesn't apply today. 44% disagree. 14% are not sure. And when the Supreme Court declared gay marriage to be legal in our society last summer, a year ago, I was amazed and appalled at how many tweets that I read from people who constantly are posting scripture on there and talking about how great Jesus is that said, tweeted out, love wins. Boy, that's a disconnect. Ask the question, is sin condemned? 65% agree that everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. 74% disagree with the idea that even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. That includes 62% who strongly disagree with that. And I've heard people say to me sometimes, all sin is the same, preacher. You know, it's little sin, it's big sin, but it's all the same. Well, in the context of all sin will send you to hell without Jesus Christ having you forgiven your sins, there are big sins and little sins. And I could go through a lot of scripture this morning about that, but that's not the text of the message. But I will give you one verse, and I want you to listen to what it said. And Jesus said in John chapter 19, verse 11, you would have no power at all against me, he's talking to Pilate, unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered you to me has the greater sin. There's some sins a lot worse than others. And so you stop and think about it this morning. They asked the question, too, about the Bible. Because a lot of people today don't believe the Bible is true. Only 47% say the Bible is 100% accurate in all it teaches. And if you're in that camp this morning that you don't believe this is the entire word of God, it's totally true all the way through from cover to cover, I want to give you a couple witnesses right quick that will tell you that you can trust in God and trust in his word. We have the witness of, outside of the Bible, we have the witness of creation. How did all this get here out? And, you know, we see the fall colors, we see the nature and everything. How did it get here? So we said, well, we're just all evolved. Well, let me ask you a question. If you went out in your backyard this week and you found a watch in your yard, it was partially buried, and you kind of undug it and wiped off the dirt off of it, and you realized it was a digital watch, and it was keeping time. You could see it moving the display as you saw it. Would you believe that watch just evolved out of the dirt, or somebody created it and made it? And the human body is far more complex than any watch. And there's millions of life forms in this world. How did they all get here? How did they get to be where they are? We have the witness of creation. But there's also the witness of our conscience. But you know, God gave us a conscience about right and wrong. What's right and what's wrong? You know, people say today, well, I can do whatever I want to. Don't judge me. Don't tell me I'm doing wrong. That's not your business. It's not your choice to tell me what's right or wrong. It's my life. It's my body, some people say. But, you know, we have a built-in sense of right and wrong. Let me give you just two or three examples right quick. If somebody came in here this morning, God forbid, guns blazing and killed all of us, right or wrong, answer me. If somebody comes into your home today while you're at church, you go home and everything has been stolen from your home and your house has been cleaned out, right or wrong? Are you with me? If somebody goes up to the Justice Center where Carolyn works tomorrow and files a complaint against me and says, you broke into my home, you stole everything, and you sprayed graffiti all over the walls in my home, is it right or wrong to lie about someone else's behavior? But someone say, well, I can do whatever I want. It's my life. Who are you to judge me? You know, at that point, there's about a fight about to break out. Amen? Where do we get that sense of right and wrong? God gave it to us. It's called a conscience. And Jesus, when he talks, he doesn't give a list of sins that we can have a little checklist to go down and check off what's right and wrong. They already had the Ten Commandments. The people he was talking to already knew what was right and wrong. They had the conscience. They had the Old Testament law. They had the Ten Commandments. They already knew those things. So he didn't have to go through, give them a list of all these things you don't need to do and these things you need to do. Sin was understood as a behavior contrary to what God had decreed. Jesus talked much more about the ramifications of and what to do about sin than he did about listing sins. So I want us to see what Jesus has to say about being all-inclusive this morning. You found it in God's Word, Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word if you're able this morning? It says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning. Just the privilege of being in your house to worship you. Lord, thank you for your salvation. Lord, help us to see clearly into your word and what you spoke to us, that our lives might be totally aligned with you and bring glory and honor to you. For it's in Christ's name that I pray. And amen. You may be seated. Notice the first thing here Jesus said when he starts to preach, after he's been baptized, after he comes out of the wilderness, he says, repent. Luke chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, there's an interesting thing. Some people came to Jesus, they want to say, you know, is people, when they suffer and have bad times, is that because they're bad sinners? In other words, good people don't have any problems, but bad people do. And it says here in verse 1 of chapter 13 of Luke, says, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? He said, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You know, I went back and did a study on it. Jesus spoke just in the Gospels 21 times he used the word repent or repentance. Luke chapter 5, verse 32, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, Jesus is doing a little bit of tongue-in-cheek right here, because the Bible very clearly tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. And when Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners, he's saying, there's none of you righteous. I'm trying to tell you that you need to be saved. You need to repent. So let's go back and say, well, okay, what's the definition of repentance? When he says here in verse 15 to repent, what does the word mean? It really means to turn. It really means a change of mind and behavior. You know, when someone is going away from God, doing their own thing, living their own life the way they want to do, the word repent means that I'm going to turn around, I'm going to change my mind about what I'm doing, that I'm doing wrong, and I'm going to change my behavior to show that. See, by very definition of the word, he's telling us that it's wrong to be living a life which is contrary to God's revealed will for our lives. He says, repent. See, that's the definition of it. Well, what's the demand of repentance? Believe in the gospel. He says, repent and believe in the gospel. It's not just a turn from, but it's a turn from and a turning to the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord died on the cross, shed his blood, gave his life for mine and your sins. He paid the price. He was sinless, without sin. He gave his life in our behalf on the cross that we could be forgiven of our sin. Amen. Repent, turn from, and turn to. That's the demand of the gospel. And let me ask you a question. If sin were no big deal, if Jesus were all inclusive and sin doesn't really matter, why would he tell us to repent? Why would he die on the cross? If we're just all one big happy family going to heaven, why even talk about repentance? Why even talk about these things? See, Jesus gave us a word about repentance. He says a word of repent. That we're going to perish one day, and we need to trust in Christ. I want you to notice the second thing. Jesus gave us a word about forgiveness of sin. You know, we're not going to turn there. I've got it on the screen, I think. But in the Lord's Prayer, when they came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. Really, it's the prayer for them. And in that prayer, in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 6, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, we need to ask for forgiveness and we need to forgive others. But you know, forgiveness is connected to repentance. Mark chapter 4, verse 12, Jesus said, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Here it is. Jesus says, lest they should repent and be forgiven. It's connected. It's like two sides of the same coin, a turning from and turn to. And that's where forgiveness starts. When we turn from ourselves, we turn from our lifestyles and our sin and everything, and we turn to Christ, that's when he's ready and willing and able to forgive us. And he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, those Old Testament passages there. See, repentance is connected to forgiveness. It goes together. Notice something else. Only God can forgive sin. Mark chapter 2 and verse 5 through 7 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, sons, your sins be forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man blaspheme like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? The Jewish nation there, the people there, they understood that only God could forgive sins. Do you know that only the offended party can forgive sin? Do you know, I can't forgive you for something you did to somebody else because you didn't do it to me. I can't forgive you for doing something that you did to somebody else. Now, if you did something wrong toward me, I can forgive you. But I cannot forgive you for offending God. Do you know, sin is an offense toward God. It's saying, God, I don't want your way. I want my way in my life. You know, that's the gist of what Jesus was praying in the garden. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And I can't forgive you for what you do wrong against God. You do something wrong against me, I can forgive you. See, only God can forgive sin against him. Sin is an offense toward God, and only God can forgive you. And we all need the forgiveness of God for our sin. See, only God can forgive sin. And sin's a matter of the heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. And he could have went on and on and on and on. Basically, Jesus said our problem is the problem of our heart. Do you know, Jeremiah said our hearts were deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. In other words, Jeremiah says our own hearts deceive us and lead us astray. And one of the things that we're seeing in our country today is our hearts are deceiving us to believing that sin is okay. It's all right. Everybody's going to heaven. There's no problem with sin. Do what you want to do. Live your life however you want to. It's okay with God. Our heart is deceiving us. Sin is a matter of the heart. And let me tell you something else. All people need forgiveness. I do. You do. Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." See, I want to stop and think, just ask a question. Have we broken any of God's laws? We think outwardly sometimes, well, have I lied, have I murdered, have I committed adultery, have I done this or I done that? We have our little checklist and we go down through, and we're kind of like Paul sometimes. We say, well, you know, I was doing pretty good. I went down through my list. I was doing all right. And then Paul says, now I got to covetous, and it slew me. Because he realized, Paul did, that covetousness was a matter of the heart, a desiring for things that weren't right. And sometimes we want to look and say, well, I'm better than my neighbor. I'm better than so-and-so. They go to church, and they do this, and they do that, and I'm better than them. Let me tell you something. Your neighbor is not the standard. I'm not your standard. Jesus Christ is the standard, and he was perfect. And when we get to wake and attain and be just like him, then we can go to heaven on our own, but nobody can. See, we committed sin outwardly. How about inwardly? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about not just breaking the letter of the law, the checklist, but the spirit of the law. Jesus said to them, if you looked on a woman to lust after her, you committed adultery already in your heart. He's saying you've broken the spirit of the law. And one of the sad things that I'm reading today and hearing is that there's a lot of ladies getting caught up in pornography now. Ladies, if you're lusting after a man in your heart, you're committing sin too. Have we coveted something? Have we idolized something in our heart? Paul said it, covetousness is idolatry. Where I was looking and said, well, I haven't gotten any idols in my life. Well, you coveting things that's not yours. You're wanting, desiring things that's not, don't belong to you or not lawful for you to have, so to speak. We all need forgiveness. Remember what Jesus said? You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And who of us have done that? I got to confess to you, I don't always love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Sometimes I get more involved in a football game than I do God. Hello? We all need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. God knew that. And Jesus gave us a word about salvation from a sin. You know, we read that. Are all people going to heaven when they die? Jesus had some pretty specific things to say about that. First off, salvation is only found in Jesus. And we all know Jesus' words in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We always quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We go on verse 17, "For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And then verse 18, we rarely talk about, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already." Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Now let's go back. Don't keep that up on. Flip it back, Brandon, to verse 16. I want you to notice the qualifiers in here Jesus has for salvation. John 3:16, "God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish." Verse 17, "Didn't send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but he that the world through him might be saved." Through him might be saved. Verse 18, look at it. "He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already." Does that sound like all inclusiveness that everybody's going to heaven? Jesus goes on, John chapter 3 and verse 36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." See, salvation is only found in Jesus. And the world can say that what they want to say, but this is Jesus' words. This is what he's teaching us. This is what he taught them, saying that only through him can people be saved. John 14:6, you remember what he said? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but except through me. I don't know about you, that sounds pretty clear to me. Amen. Second thing, not only is salvation only found in Jesus, but forgiveness is only found in Jesus. See, his death on the cross opened the door for you and I to be saved and all people to be saved who would trust in him and be forgiven. God said the wages of sin is death. And when Jesus died that death on the cross, he paid the penalty for mine and your sin that we could go free and go to heaven one day. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness is only found in Jesus. Remember, forgiveness has to be, the forgiveness comes from the one who's offended. God is the one who's offended, and only Jesus can forgive sins because he is God. Notice something else. Jesus commands and demands a turning from sin. You remember the lame man at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5? Jesus healed him. He gets up and goes on his way and everything, but he didn't really realize who it was, and they go and interrogate him and find out who did this and so on. And it says in verse 14, afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. See, Jesus commands and demands a turning from sin. You remember the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8? He told those who were sinless to cast the first stones at her. And remember when they dropped their stones, one went out. And Jesus turned around after he'd been scribbling on the ground and looks up at her and says, has no man condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord, in verse 11. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus commands and demands a turning from sin. And Jesus gave us a word about heaven. Do you know heaven's a perfect place? You know, heaven is beyond our imagination. Amen. How good and how wonderful it is. Mm-hmm. Paul said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. We can imagine it. What God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven's a perfect place. I haven't seen a perfect place yet, have you? In heaven, there's nothing that defiles or dirties can even enter in. Heaven is only for perfect people. If God allowed imperfect, sinful people to enter his heaven, then it wouldn't be perfect any longer. Jesus said to him in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48 in the Sermon on the Mount, he's kind of concluding the part of the message there, and he says, be ye therefore perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I'm imagining they looked at him and they thought, perfect? Who's perfect? How can I be perfect? And he's saying, I have to be perfect. Are you perfect? I'm not. Carolyn must be in the nursery, and that way she can't give witness till I'm not perfect. Amen. I heard about a preacher asked his audience one time in a message. He said, there's anyone there that was perfect, trying to illustrate the idea that there is none righteous, no, not one. And he says, anybody here perfect? And one older man in the back kind of raised his hand slowly, and the preacher's kind of taken aback. He said, what? He said, sir, are you perfect? He kind of stood up and said, no, but my wife's first husband was. Do you know the only way for us to be perfect is to have repented of our sin, been forgiven of our sin, by faith believing Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin on that cross, and by faith receiving his righteousness credited to our account. So when God looks at me, he didn't see my old dirty sinful nature. He sees the blood of his son covering my sin, that I am righteous because I've got Jesus' white righteousness on me. Because he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So was Jesus all inclusive? No, he said it was a narrow way. Was Jesus all inclusive? No, he said it was a small gate. Was Jesus all inclusive? No, he said that few would enter there. But he said there was a way, a truth, and a life for those who received him by faith. See, Jesus is not all inclusive, but all who come to him by faith can be included. Amen? See, have you repented and believed in him and been forgiven of your sins? Then you can be included in the family of God. Amen. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Sing it with me. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. I've been included, have you?
Amen.
Have you been adopted into his family by faith? Coming to Jesus, turning from your sin, trusting him for your salvation, and being born again in the family of God, do you know heaven is your home? If you have, just say praise the Lord, amen? But if you haven't this morning, Jesus is not all inclusive. Everybody's not going to heaven. But if you'll trust him this morning, believe in him and turn from yourself and your behavior and turn to him and trust him, he will save you this morning and you can be a part of his family.
Amen.
That's the good news. That's why they call it the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning as they come to get the music ready and begin to play softly, do you know Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time, a point in your life where you knew that you turned from yourself and you turned and trusted Christ? And you asked for his forgiveness and he forgave you, and you knew that because he gave you his Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you every day. If you have that testimony this morning, praise the Lord for you. And thank you for Jesus. But if you can't say that this morning, what greater time than today, this morning, to say, I want to trust Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to know heaven is my home. I want to be included in the family of God. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just lift your hand and say, preacher, God's dealing with me. I know I need to be saved. Would you just lift your hand for a moment? Anyone here? God's speaking to my heart. I need to be saved. I want to pray for you, not embarrass you in any way. God's speaking to your heart. Pray for me. It's all just by lifting your hand, you're going to say, preacher, pray for me. I know I need to be saved. Anyone here? Just a minute, we have this time of invitation. God's speaking to your heart. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but if you'll just step out and come here and just say, preacher, would you pray with me that I could be saved? I'll show you in God's word how you can trust him, how you can believe in him, how you can be saved, how you can be part of the family of God. I want you to come. If you're this morning, maybe you know Christ as your Savior, but for some reason you've kind of got off the track. And you know Jesus wants you to come back to him. Maybe you want to come and just kneel down and say, Lord, help me to get my life back in tune with you. If you're here this morning, you just want to come and kneel down and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Jesus, thank you for making it possible. God's speaking in your heart. You just want to come and give thanks. Let him have his way in your heart and life this morning. If something else is on your mind you need to come pray about, someone you want to come pray about that you know that's not walking according to God's way, you love them dearly, you care about them, and you want to come pray for them, and God would open their eyes that they would trust him before it's too late, come. I'm going to pray, and then as God leads you, as leads us, and as they sing, you come. Father in heaven, thank you for this word this morning that you've given us from the mouth of our Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to trust you every day. And Lord, I pray your will would be done in our lives now. Lord, I pray that all of us would be in right relationship with you. We give you praise. Lead us now, we pray in Jesus' name.